This is Sunday. This is Sunday, February the 25th, 1996. We're going to start the meeting this afternoon by reading yesterday, Saturday, February 24th, writing, number one. Looking here and there. I am accused of being a bigot and a troublemaker. How can that be? I cannot be either. Can you also understand that I cannot be, for I simply am? I serve no man, but I do serve in totality my Creator, that we rather carelessly label God in order to lose Him within the confusion of the meaning of God and gods. We write of many things from many aspects of perception so that opinions might be drawn and conclusions reached based upon some facts which usually go unnoted as man buries the dark side of his truth and doctrine and presents the side publicly that he chooses. That too is fine with me. However, I do not need to accept such views, nor do I blindly accept any view. The world, as it is recognized by experiencing mankind, is illusion at the best, unknown in its factual order. And how, for instance, can chaos bear order? The two terms are opposites. God and universe are order. Mankind, as he presents in his mental choices, is chaotic. God is all power, but challenges without force. Man is basically without power and rules through force. Does this mean that God and man are also opposites? No, it means that human has the capacity to become higher and more noble than that with which he presents in his physical expression. Man rules by doctrines. God exists through laws of universal, never-changing expression. Mankind looks upon happenings in a perception of good or bad according to personal interpretation, i.e., a storm in April, which is necessary for crops but destroys hopes of an early year picnic, is described in terms according to the needs and wishes of each individual regarding that storm. Can a, quote, one world order or government ever work? No. Because of the one wondrous word, world. In a world of physical expression, you can have order under good laws, but you can never have peace or freedom through force, no matter what might be your religion. And, of course, if you have a one-world government order, you will also have to have a one-world religion. This is simple assumption. Love is truth when it is added, multiplied, divided, and evil is subtracted. Control is accomplished by adding and multiplying force, dividing one from another, and by subtracting good. Therefore, God, in infinite wisdom, allows freedom of thought, in that man might grow. A new world order plans to control and disallow freedom so that man is bound and shackled to existence. Heading: Superstitions and Myths. It sounds really good when someone comes along and tells you his is the only way. You can follow or not follow his regime, but basically you can discount his message unless he is powerful enough in the New World Order to cause you to be forced to accept his input. You can take my lessons and do whatever you want with them, for you need follow no man. You can toss the writings right into the trash can. My mission is not to shove something down your throats, but I am sent to tell you truth of universal expectations according to the unchanging order of universal possibility from as many individual vantage points as there are individuals and migrating souls. There doesn't even need to be a soul to have an opinion. However, as man hides from the universal truth of God, Creator of the universe, your universe, he turns to the dark expressions of physical pleasure instead of the joy of goodness. It is the mark of the beast. and it is the mark which must be avoided if the soul is to travel within the higher dimensions of the wondrous and higher consciousness of human. Since higher universal man is already experiencing in those higher dimensions, the lesser intent is not acceptable, so it is noted that until lessons are learned, the evil perpetrators are restricted in astral levels of physical bindings. Man is shackled in a physical classroom and in a physical perception until lessons break through the dark wall of intent and individual man awakens to his truth of being. Because I know this truth and pronounce no edicts upon you, save the probabilities of expectation, I cannot be either bigot or troublemaker. I repeat, I simply am. Heading, how do you get around facts? How do you, then, get around the facts if you don't believe or do not choose to like my writings? You simply detach Hatan and lay a hard trip on Dharma. If that doesn't work, go for the kill and blame the human beings who annoy you. First, once introduced, quote, just in case, I find that ones really don't like to denounce me too hard, just sort of cover by misspelling my label, excusing their thrust with, quote, well, I believe that, etc. Fine, believe anything you want to believe, but the actions, ah yes, the actions, continue to speak very, very loudly indeed. When you rattle and prattle, excuse and deny, what are you actually doing? Avoiding the issue in almost every instance is what is the outcome of the action. The more dastardly the intent, the more silly the excuses in evasion of confronting the issue instead of the ridiculous peripheral nonsense. Heading, delays and counter-delays. How can and why should, for instance, delays be continually accomplished in lawsuits? How can a cut-and-dried fact be so debased as to go on for decades? Intentionally, of course. Manipulations in an unjust system produce capabilities of continuation of unjust circumstances. It is not always the other guy's fault or conquest. It is fully attached to the person who is helping. Let us look at some local facts. Why would delays be acceptable? Well, delays are necessary in some instances for the opposition to allow statute of limitations to expire. If, for instance, your legal guide is involved in shenanigans with the opposition parties in some instances, is it not to his advantage to delay everything revolving around his own indiscretion to expire limitation statutes? Example? Well, let me consider a moment. Okay, if Mr. Dixon were involved with the Green Brigade, Gary Anderson's antics, foreign trust with tips, etc., and worked within the very office structure where known unlawful acts took place, and further, it was said he knew about everything, would it not be wise to play out in delays the statute of limitations under the civil laws? Let us go further and note that great sums of money from loans were due and owing, and that includes those loans under Mr. Dixon's authority. Would it not be wise for himself and all his former colleagues to play out the statute of limitations rather than allow cases to be filed, even in proper? Would it have to be intentional? No, but it would be, because you are dealing with brilliant minds, not stupid brains. So what can you do? Well, you can play out the statute of limitations, or you can act in your own behalf. If you can't, however, do anything unless you... Correction. You can't, however, do anything unless you get informed. Why? You can ask yourself, did Mr. Dixon get thwarted at every turn of the legal process from being able to bring diversion of funds to legal action? It can be from too many corrupt people in too many places, or it could be as simple as a delay awaiting a run out of the statute of limitations in his own behalf or on the behalf of those others. Do you see, friends, how difficult it is to see everything? There is no way to know, for only the insiders know the facts. I can use Mr. Dixon without fearing some self-defensive battle over the example, because he has done so much to help us all here that we can be sure that we would protect him against any foes he might have to confront. You see, Mr. Dixon, as in this example, like you, has to confront his own set of standards, liabilities, and prospects for service or self-gain, and choose. Each mankind being is no different from any other in that each has to choose, and choices will be based on that which came before. Readers, if you can keep mankind ignorant, you can control them, at the least until it is too late to counter the controller's actions. Did the above actions actually take place? Yes, so say those of the Green Brigade and others who worked within that circle. But did it actually take place? Do you see that? As in this example, only Mr. Dixon knows. It is much, readers, as in coloring your hair. Only your hairdresser knows for sure. No, you knew long before you got to your hairdresser. So, will the statute of limitations expire on some of these things for whatever reason? No. Why? Because I have seen to it in time. Can you see that many are caught in the middle of something in which bad choices simply happen? It seems okay, or sort of okay, at the time. A shrewd dealer comes along and then somebody sucks everyone into the trap and blackmail becomes the deal of the day. Still, it is okay because there is only fringe involvement and knowledge and choices are still undecided until, one day, it is no longer up for grabs as to choices. You will be forever, correction, you will forever be faced with your own actions, choices, reputation painting and showing, and hard knocks regarding less than good choices or full commitments. Not just a few of some example or another to make a parable understood, but every individual at some time or another faces choices of these magnitudes. You have to decide whether or not to assist honorably in truth, sort of hide out and allow time to slip by without deciding, or sitting the fence as long as you can. I can promise you this much, however, the fence sitting or the active delaying will cost dearly in health, for your own body mechanisms actually become sick when you deliberately act in wrongful and deliberately wrongful ways. We have a very good and, for now, stable relationship with Mr. Dixon, and I want to honor the man, certainly not offend him. He will be soon taking the helm to offer a school which will teach you the people to defend selves, help selves lawfully and correctly, and stop the undue legal games from destroying you, if you wish to learn. He will actually be the focus of one of our crown jewels in recognition of how to do it right. Would any man miss such an opportunity to share such a gift with his fellow citizens and allow his beloved family to look upon him with respect and pride of parent? I hope not. But again, as with all things, man has to do what he will do, and that is not my business, do you see? I can provide opportunity and knock upon your door, nothing more. Why would Bill Clinton, whom you all know, do the things he does? Because he has. It might well be a political and one world order thing, but he simply has done whatever he has done, no more and no less. He is just like you. He acts as he thinks it benefits himself the most. And the rest of you, even into his closest family, be damned. And that, too, can find excuse for allowance. A man will act according to his foundation of strength, which must come from inner strength and not extra outside force. In any circumstance where truth can be brought forth, it will come through the joining with him who first acted to protect the way. Then, as each of you move within the cause, there will be ever-enlarging courses of action to confront that which otherwise gets away with dastardly deeds. Sometimes there is nobody to do it for you, even in the actions of daily living where expertise is demanded by legal restraints. Therefore, you have to learn enough to step out there and protect self and those with whom you community, lest the moment of truth in action be lost forever. Why, along these same thought lines, would some try to get Rick to not file against his wrongdoers? What are the opposing parties doing already? They are not arguing on the basis of no wrongdoing, but only on jurisdiction and expirations of statute of limitations on their actions. Please remember that you have to go back almost 3 years to remind ourselves that Mr. Anderson and Mr. Green, at the least, diverted Constitutional Law Center funds to a We the People bank account unlawfully, by intent or non-intent, in Colorado. This included lots of money, and how could it be unintentional? In addition to this loss, there is also over $100,000 owned by the Common Law Service Center, Anderson and John, to the Phoenix Institute. And George owes now over $500,000 to the Institute in outright funds and diverted gold. Is it not to their benefit to play out the statute of limitations? I use these examples, readers, because they are real. Before us, as we write, and are examples of what is taking place from the highest abusers of law and honor in the international intrigue to your neighbor next door. This attitude is what must be changed, not just a government or two. When money instead of integrity is the goal, it is a very hard disease to overcome, for such bears a price, but one you can purchase, and the other has no price, nor ability to purchase. Once, however, the big choice is made to always act in integrity, all those other choices become indeed small. Perhaps you can only light a candle in this dark world, and perhaps you can only support the candle bearer with a match with which to spark the flame. But that match makes the ability to have the flame. Therefore, no gift, no contribution is lesser than another, only different and equally necessary. You people who run things have all the incorrect assumptions. Let me point out that in this day of disease, the person who cleans the bathroom is the most important person in any place. In all instances, the person who keeps the books is the most important person in any organization as to business. Why? Because they can destroy you if they are careless or deliberately out to get you. When you of earth consider equality, I want to know why you cast off some of the jobs as being unworthy of your great position. If you have no farmer to grow your food, you are going to starve, no matter who you think you are. Let us look through the mind of Mr. Calvin Buehrer for a minute at part 15 of the New World Church Order. Quoting, "One World Government. Who is behind the so-called New World Order, which President Bush spoke of so often and his establishment allies have been promoting? This came before George and will continue long after George, but it was thrust in your face by name during Bush's reign as king. The grand design for the New World Order has been in the works for a long time, but now the schemers are beginning to talk publicly of their ultimate goal of a one world government. The players are now publicly presented and the enforcers are named. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, World Council of Churches, and many other liberal organizations have been working on this grand design of one world government for many years. Little by little, our freedoms are being taken from us, and we are being snared into the net of the one world government. In 1936, the Federal Register had only 2,411 pages of federal regulations. By 1970, there were a total of 20,000 pages. And by 1975, more than 60,000 pages, and heaven only knows how many pages of regulatory mayhem there are today. Such a mass of conflicting chaos is not democracy, but a form of socialism whose ultimate goal is a one-world government. They have deviously arranged the International Monetary Fund and World Bank so that all the nations of the world must go along with the New World Order, or their funds will be cut and their loans will be called. They now have established, in effect, a global Internal Revenue Service. All nations of the world must cooperate by taking necessary steps to recover tax claims. If you fall out of favor with the government of the day, you are in trouble, as this document virtually eliminates all national borders. It is amazing how many of your sovereign rights we have lost in the last 5 years. Our world in conflict is moving from sovereign nations with sovereign rights for its people to a one-world government that, in the name of peace, intends to act as the New World Order. Where are the people, Congress, church, schools, and other American institutions that are supposed to protect the sovereignty of America. The New World Order establishment has been working diligently to destroy the virtues of America. Liberty is the luxury of self-discipline. The establishment has used the media, mainly television, by the use of the five memory laws to hypnotize the American people into following an ideology in which Americans do not believe. The self-discipline which gave us the luxury of liberty, that brought us out of the bondage, is fast decaying, and soon we will fall under the bondage of the one world government with no place to run or escape. What a pity. America, the nation that was born in faith, self-discipline, and hard work, is now handing over its sacred sovereignty and freedom to the one world government without a hint of a struggle. Karl Marx, the father of communism, was a Jew. Gorbachev of Russia is a Jew. If the New World Order was introduced by a Russian, an American could understand it. George Bush, the President of the United States of America, is the first to speak in public of this communist and Jewish Zionist New World Order. The protocols of the Elders of Zion laid the blueprint of this New World Order at the turn of the century. Little by little, they have been able to gain their power position and are now ready to close the vise of their one world government. The answer as to who is behind the so-called New World Order is the Elders of Zion. This order of international Jews has gained control of the power of the world and the money of the world, and now will soon begin their rule of the one world government with a hellish reign. End of quoting. I would share now some excerpts from a book called Nature's Eternal Religion by Ben Klassen, chapter 9, page 104. I make no comment to the authority or conclusions of this writer nor the book's contents, but I want to share a bit of incontrovertible recognition of some of the contents. Quoting, five Jewish books. As we have seen from the history of the white race and of the Jewish race, the Jews throughout their long and tortuous history have been the supreme masters of deceit. Whereas the Egyptians are no more, the Babylonians have disappeared, the original Greeks were mongrelized, the Romans perished. The Jews, on the other hand, are alive today and going strong. They are, in fact, now in control of the world. Why is it that this race, which could never even found a culture or civilization, or manage to build a country of their own, has nevertheless come out on top? If we analyze Jewish history, the answers are not too hard to come by. There are hundreds of reasons that could be listed, but basically they are these few. Number one, early in their history they recognized what a powerful weapon was religion, a weapon with which to unite their own race, and a weapon with which to destroy their enemies. Number two, they learned that in racial unity there is strength. They have been fanatically dedicated to their own race. Number three, they found that there is nothing more potent in unifying a group, nation, or race than hating a common enemy. As a consequence, all new non-Jewish peoples have perpetually been their enemies and always will be. Number four, the Jews mastered the tricky technique of confuse, divide, and conquer as a key in overcoming their enemies. Number five, they have relentlessly organized. They have organized their own people into thousands of effective and all-encompassing groups. They have also organized their enemies for their own destruction. Number six, they have been diabolically clever at propaganda. They have grasped early in their history what a powerful tool was propaganda with which to manipulate their enemies. It is this last aspect we want to examine more thoroughly. Whereas the Jews are in complete control of today's propaganda and news media, radio, television, motion picture, newspapers, magazines, etc., they were already extremely adept at using propaganda before the modern means were ever invented. Manipulation of the word has been their specialty as masters of deceit. In St. John 1:1, the Jewish Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." A strange claim, indeed, but one loaded with meaning, a meaning that has escaped most Gentiles, especially the preachers. What this strange bit of hocus-pocus really means in Jew language is that with words, they can create gods. And conversely, words can become as powerful as a god in controlling and directing the minds and destinies of people. The Jews have used words and propaganda profusely and relentlessly to their advantage and to the white man's detriment, along with every other race of humankind on the globe, although they have written and diffused millions of propaganda pieces. They have specifically written 5 books that have had a catastrophic effect on the history of mankind and the white race in particular. These books are, number 1, the Old Testament. It has been a powerful instrument in uniting the Jewish race. Number 2, the New Testament. It was written to confuse and confound the Romans in particular and the white race in general. It has been devastatingly effective. Number 3, the Talmud. It was compiled over several centuries to give the Jews a code of laws to live by and a formula by which they could successfully destroy the Goyim, i.e., the white race in particular. Number 4, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. This was a modern distilled essence of the principles scattered throughout the Talmud, but concentrated and brought up to date. And number 5, Das Kapital, Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. Together, these two are the foundation and program for turning the Gentile peoples of the world into an organized Jewish slave labor camp. This program has already been successfully executed in Russia, Cuba, China, and dozens of other countries now under the Jewish heel. End of quoting. It would seem that it always comes back around to the information and its source. I don't and didn't write any of those books, and I can only perceive content as to truth or consequences of anything. I must, however, base everything in light of God's laws in a logical reason and universal truth. I am a bit at a loss as to some information sent for my use, which bears such quantities of information and truth, and yet right off the first paragraph, the author blows his credibility. Perhaps it is from his lack of command of the language and misuse of terms. However, what he says indicates otherwise. Here's a quote. I have pointed out repeatedly that I am not a religionist. Although the Holy Bible is a book of scientific truth to me, I would never, and Hatton says, scientific? That book may be many things, but scientific is not among the descriptions of suitable perception. It may represent many things, but scientific anything is certainly not among the choices. Of all things, the Holy Bible is not. Scientific is the largest misfit. Religions are social orders, clubs with doctrines, regulations and limitations of actions, beliefs and thus and so on, just as are the governmental orders of the prevailing club and its membership. Spiritual truth has little to do with any club membership. In the ending, readers come down to 2 recognized entities, you and God. May the best win, which of course is always God, because you are within God Creator's most interesting and marvelous works. The name of the real game here is soul. While you are taught to focus on the physical unreality of expression for a few years here and a few years there in the universe without years or time or space. Quote, so what makes you so smart, Buster? You might inquire. I have been there, friends, and gained a whole bunch of wisdom from the school of learning at Soul Progression. I learned the right and better way. So too shall you. Or you will remain in the never-ending wheel of entrapment. Soul moves toward eternal life. Body moves toward death. The concept is simple enough. The game rules easy. I salute all who come to know. Salut.
Thank you. Old Dad, weary Dad in light. When I wrote that, I realized that it was going to start a lot of wheels turning. It was, however, the best example that I could bring forth to discuss and exemplify why lawyers will play certain games and what are the possibilities, considering sometimes the probabilities of the things that are happening and the things that don't happen. As we move along, and I nudge and urge and demand finally, and then I stomp my feet and I come down hard, there's only one or two who will respond to me. And then I get all of the reasons, all of the excuses why, oh, we mustn't do this and we mustn't do that. So I'm going to discuss one or two things this day that are going to make a lot of you in this room consider that we have truly our enemy among us. And yes, we do. Some of those enemies don't even realize that they serve the true enemy. I don't care. I want you to know right up front, I don't care. I enjoy my enemies and respect them equally with my friends, but I will not protect my enemies. Do one serve without the realization of what they serve? Not really. Because priorities will always tell you wherein a man's or woman's intent really lies. Where is their focus? With John Strafer, it's his car. Is that bad? No, it isn't bad, but wherever your heart is where your thoughts are going to be, and it's not going to make you very productive anywhere else. And along those lines, I keep saying, why has someone not done something with John's case in his own behalf? A 60-day extension, and the enemy comes in and files an appeal on the 59th day, tells you a lot about John's case, and that is the lawyers are going to drag this thing out to infinity also. Why would they dare do that? Well, if you pay attention and keep up with what goes on, you'll know exactly why they dared to do it. Judge Ryan, who finally saw the facts and finally made some rulings and finally did some very wise things in John's case, is no longer on the bench. She has been moved to a municipality, a municipal court, where she has a little more authority. It's a promotion for her. But that leaves a new judge on the bench with an old confusing case. And John does not have the clarity of thought processing back yet. He was damaged. For goodness sakes, he was hit over the head with a fire extinguisher. Of which lately, John, I have considered doing likewise. I know, son, that you're impatient. But you cannot make other people pay for your impatience. And that car is a blasted, it is an anathema. You cannot drive that car. You may not drive that car. You will be put away if you drive that car. Please understand me. It is iffy. You have a conservator. We can't seem to get rid of the conservator, but he is really beginning to think about it, because the deeper and longer this thing goes, and the less he's paid, the more he wants to get rid of the case. But now you don't have Judge Ryan to even go and offer things, you know, as plums to anybody else. So we have to be very, very careful what you do. And you can say, I only want the key to go sit in my car and rev up the motor. No, you don't. The minute you get in the car, I know what you're going to do. You're going to rev up the motor, put it in gear, and drive it. So don't lie to myself or yourself. There's something we're all going to learn, and that is we're going to start being honest with ourselves and with each other, and then we can maybe get something done. Well, do I, Big Buster, have an idea? Yes, I do. You couldn't lease the car to Bob James because the price of insurance, etc., to meet O'Connell's needs is outrageous. My God, he might as well go buy another one for himself. His is just fine, except it doesn't like to run in cold weather. Now, it seems quite simple to me. Why don't you just sell your car to Bob James? He will give you back a promissory statement that says, John, the minute that you get your license and can drive, I will sell it back to you. You're now into the next year, so the depreciation of your car, even though it hasn't done anything but sit there, is probably another $2,000 off. So the very top limit of Blue Book value would be maybe $6,000. I suggest you sell it to Bob James for $1,000 and so much a little bit per month. That keeps the conservators off of your back. It keeps your car being cared for. Otherwise, it's going to go up on blocks and the wheels are coming off. I am sorry. I just don't know how we're going to base all of our legal problems and let the responsibility fall, for instance, to Mr. Dixon, and when the ones from the law center are the ones that are not ever here. Does it make me mad? No, but I don't see how anybody can come back and accuse us of making arrangements that are without their input. We cannot wait forever. We've got to do something, number one, about John's car. And I'm not going to sit here and whisper. We don't have secrets. You see, they've got a lot against you now, John. The people who have rented your house after the big wash, the big storm here a while back, it washed out two ammunition cans. Everybody hoped they contained silver or gold. They contain ammunition. And that is sitting with the sheriff. So it's just as well you act a little addled. But we need to do something to preserve your car. Because the way it is structured, your conservator has the right to sell it. Let's handle it before that takes place. Bob James, I'm sure, would be willing to work this out with you. Let's consider it. And I know that you need to talk to Jean, but Jean's not here. And nobody is getting a countersuit going. We filed on the day before the statute of limitations expired. I wanted Gene in here before we discuss these things because I wanted to ask him some very serious legal questions. Now you're going to have to take my word for it. These are serious things. And the reason they suddenly became serious is because of all of the things that are going on under the covers with Mr. Green, Mr. Anderson. There's even Wang John. This is going to hurt Gene. Except that he knows. Gene is between the devil and the hardest place you can imagine being. Gene was running the Constitutional Law Center. Remember, Mr. Tipps was going to be the head of the Law Center. And from time to time, Mr. Tipps was really angry that Gene was doing all the stuff. Well, Mr. Green, the idea for birthing a law center was EJ's. But Mr. Green, after the fact, went out and told everybody on his speaking circuits and in the seminars that that was his. But, of course, then Mr. Green also told Daryl Keenan and a whole group a couple of years ago that he had set court up in that corporation agency to the tune of $1 million. Now, how does this make court look? How does this make Court Christie look? When corporations disappear that can only help George Green. Well, we know that Mr. Green is such a stingy SOB that he would never have footed the bill for anything. Nor did he have it. And I think that is such a disservice for Mr. Christie, who works with a Nevada corporation called Nevada Corporate Headquarters. And George went off to Carson City and opened up two more agencies. So he doesn't have anything to do with the Nevada corporate headquarters, but how does that make Court Christie? Look, when you have a big case pending, and then your own brain says, oh my God, do you suppose it's true? Did court literally give away those corporations to Betty Tootens? No. And how would I know that? Well, great deduction, Dr. Watson, I believe. The feedback from Betty Tootens and the way they did it, and now the cover-up from Sherry Yount, the way she's doing it. And Mrs. Yount, of course, is absolutely aggravated, mortified, and I mean, she's found four other people who channel information a lot better than we have. And she was just protecting herself with all of the instructions written down there. So the big deal letter that she was going to send to Dorma is nothing but a repetition of what she put read off. We said, you watch, she read it. So someone wrote it for her. She penned it in her own handwriting, and it's verbatim. And then she's added a little to the end, really incensed that on the tapes, Commander had said she was near 90, and that she kind of fibs about her age. Come on, that's okay. That's legal.
But to be near 90 or fib?
Either one, especially if you're near 90, it's perfectly fine to fib. After you're around for so long, as in my case, you can't even remember. So in my instance, a fib, it doesn't count because I just don't know how old I am. And it doesn't matter. But when the focus turns to something so trivial, and then she says, no, I never said that anybody had taken anything out of my closet.